You're listening to the Jefferson Exchange. I'm Mike Green. Oregon Democrats have been trying to pass a bill to fund the state's transportation infrastructure for months. On Monday, they finally did it. The funding package will prevent impending layoffs at Oregon's Department of Transportation. OPB politics reporter Dirk Vanderhart has been following efforts to pass this bill and explains why it's been so challenging. Welcome back to the Exchange, Dirk.
Hey, good morning, Mike. Good to be here.
Well, legislators in Salem have known all year long that they needed to pass a transportation package to fund the work on Oregon roads and other infrastructure. But what's been so hard to get legislators to agree on until this week? What happened?
Yeah, so there are a couple of things at play here. The first, I think, is some time mismanagement by Democrats earlier this year. So, you know, lawmakers had been working for a year or so to put together a package, figure out what taxes they might want to raise, what new taxes they might want to institute to pay for what many people think is just a problem in the structural ways we fund transportation. But Democrats, despite all that work, didn't actually unveil a bill in this year's regular legislative session until about 3 weeks were left. That did not give them very much runway to find the support they needed to get the bill across before adjournment. So that failed in pretty spectacular fashion. As you noted, that raised the likelihood or real specter that hundreds of ODOT employees would be laid off because the department had a funding shortfall. So what we've now seen is a special session that actually lasted a lot longer than anyone wanted because we had a senator who was sick. He couldn't make it to the Capitol, and Democrats were relying on his vote. They convened actually on Labor Day weekend and are about to adjourn today. It has been a longer journey than I think any Democrat would have liked.
So when did Oregon legislators first try to pass a transportation package, and why did it take so long?
Yeah, no, I mean, as I say, they tried to pass it late June. It didn't work. The House passed this most current package on September 1st, and that the Senate gave final approval yesterday, or Monday, I should say. And what it contains are some things that probably your listeners will be interested in. So we are talking about a 6-cent increase to the state's 40-cent per gallon gas tax. We are talking about vehicle registration and titling fees that in some cases are going to double or more. We are also talking about doubling a payroll tax that Oregonians pay to fund public transit. And for the first time, we are talking about requiring drivers of EVs and hybrid vehicles to register for this state program where they pay a fee for every mile they drive. All those moves taken together are expected to raise around $4.3 billion over the first 10 years of this bill. You know, in the short term, that is enough to stave off layoffs. In the longer term, folks say it's going to inject some much needed funding to make sure both the state, but also cities and counties are able to do basic things, like, you know, maintain bridges, fill potholes, stripe roads, plow in the winter, those kinds of things.
Well, wasn't there a previous bill that I think had more than $11 billion in it?
That's right. Yes, yes. Democrats were initially trying to be a lot more ambitious, and this is the package they put together during the regular session this year. I mean, that included larger gas tax increases. That included new taxes on car sales. It included a bunch of other things that would have raised a lot more money over a decade, and it would have put money into some priorities that we are not seeing funded in the bill that passed this week. That includes some major highway projects. It includes some money for safer streets for pedestrians and cyclists, those kinds of things. But again, that package was seen as a bridge too far. Even for some Democrats, it was certainly disliked by Republicans, and it couldn't find the necessary support to pass the legislature. That's why we are talking about this more stripped down package, which Governor Tina Kotek put forward really in a rushed attempt and now success to avoid these ODOT layoffs.
My guest is OPB reporter Dirk Vanderhart. He's been covering the outcomes of a special session of the Oregon legislature. So, Dirk, what's at stake with this funding bill?
Well, now that it's passed, we don't think a lot. I mean, we could get into some questions, but, you know, ODOT is expecting not to have to lay off 500 or so workers. Cities and counties say they're going to have more money to do the things that I think voters and citizens expect them to do. And actually, we are also talking about an increase for public transit agencies, at least for the next 2 years, which is going to help them avoid what they say could be some really ugly and severe service cuts if they hadn't had that money. So, you know, Democrats, you know, Governor Kotek and also Democratic leaders have been taking a bit of a victory lap part of this week, saying this was really necessary, and we're very glad we got it done.
But this was a close call, wasn't it?
It was, yeah. So, you know, to raise taxes in the legislature, you need three-fifths of both chambers to pass those bills. Those are super majorities. Now, Democrats have those majorities in each chamber. It was not difficult for them to find the vote in the House, particularly, actually, they needed one Republican vote. But in the Senate, again, they needed 18 of the chamber's 30 members to get this across. They got that, and that's because Senator Chris Gorsuch, who's a Democrat from Gresham, was able to appear in the Capitol on Monday. He had been ill all month. He had actually been in the hospital with some complications and so had to miss a number of scheduled floor votes. That pushed this vote on the transportation package back again and again until he was well enough to attend. He appeared in the chamber in a wheelchair, but was able to vote yes, and Democrats got this across by the bare 18-vote majority.
Wow. Well, I know that Republicans are not unreasonable. They have agreed that the state needs to fund transportation. They just don't agree with how Democrats have decided to do it. So what are they saying?
Yeah, that's right. They have really fought all year against the notion that we need to raise taxes to close the funding gaps we're seeing in transportation. What they have instead argued is that there are a lot of things that ODOT does that are not part of what they would call core mission. So they have advocated routing money away from public transit, likely leading to service cuts. But they say that's not money we need to be focused on right now. They want to put that toward roads. They are talking about routing money away from electric vehicle subsidies and bike and pedestrian infrastructure. They say if we are routing that money away from those other things, we should be able to pay for the nuts and bolts road maintenance Democrats want. Democrats have not been willing to go there. They say that's a bridge too far. We need to be funding all these priorities, not sort of cutting to the bone on some things they feel are important. So that has been the major disconnect. Republicans have been really strong in saying these tax increases that just passed are things that Oregonians can't afford. And we expect that'll be a big message in next year's elections as well.
Well, there are some advocacy groups who've called the bill a short-term fix. What does that
right.
mean?
Yeah, so this is the notion that because Democrats were forced to do a smaller package than many people wanted, it might not go as far as many people would like. Remember, there is a notion out there, an argument that there is a structural problem with the way the state funds its transportation. What Democrats were trying to pass earlier this year, they believed would have solved many of those structural issues. But this smaller package doesn't do that. So what we are already hearing from local governments that get money from the state, but also groups like, you know, transit, public transit advocacy groups or groups that advocate for better streets for bicycle users, for instance, is that this is a Band-Aid. It is not going to get us very far. You know, in 5 or 10 years or maybe even sooner, we will find ourselves once again needing more money. And by the way, this bill that just passed didn't have money for major highway projects in the Portland area that in some cases have already begun but face funding holes of billions of dollars. So lawmakers are probably going to have to come back to the drawing board and find some money for those priorities in the near term. I mean, I think Governor Kotek said this week she may have a conversation next year even or the year after about finding more money. This is a conversation that is clearly not done.
Well, it sounds like we're just kicking the can down the road and this problem.
I think that is the perspective of some advocacy groups, and I think that it is something that Republicans are very wary of because they feel like this bill that just passed was already damaging enough. They will surely oppose any, you know, future attempts to find even more money, especially if that comes at the cost of higher taxes.
Well, Republicans have said that they want the gas tax increase, which was included in the bill, to be on the November 2026 ballot. What does that mean?
Yeah, that could be a big question here, Mike, because if someone does file a campaign that would sort of send this text to voters, they could collect around 78,000 signatures and qualify it for the ballot. That would actually freeze the tax in place before it could be enacted until voters have a chance to weigh in November 2026. That puts us in a very interesting place because without that new money, ODOT won't have the money it needs to avoid layoffs. We would appear to be right back at square one, at least until voters weigh in. Now, the question we have is whether or not there's going to be the kind of financial backing for a campaign to collect those 78,000 signatures. That is not a cheap endeavor. And so we are really waiting to see whether folks that have that kind of money oppose this bill strongly enough that they would want to take that action. It is not clear as of now that that's going to be the case. And I know many Democrats and Governor Kotek certainly hope it will not be.
Well, we've got about 30 seconds left. Was there anything that surprised you while they were discussing all this?
I mean, no. This week, the debate we've seen is very similar to the debate we've seen all year. What I will say, though, is that what has surprised me, and we touched on this a little bit, is just how difficult this was for Democrats. They have supermajorities in both chambers. They theoretically should be able to find the will to get this done. And the fact that it has been just such a chaotic road to getting this money across, I think shows one where the Democratic Party is, but also just how difficult in these times we're in, it is going to be to find money for transportation moving forward.
Okay, well, that's all the time we have for this segment. Dirk, thank you for covering this important issue.
It's my pleasure. Thanks, Mike.
My guest was OPB reporter Dirk Vanderhart. I just want to offer a quick reminder that throughout the month of October is JPR's Fall Fund Drive. In these uncertain times, JPR relies on your continued support. We invite you to consider donating online at ijpr.org/support or call us directly at 888-552-6191. Joining me in the studio now is the leader of JPR's award-winning news team, News Director Maria Carter. Welcome.
Hi, Mike. Glad to be here.
Well, the newsroom's been pretty busy. There's a lot going on out there.
There's always a lot going on, which is good news for us. Not always good news for the people we're covering, but, that's what we're there to do. We're there to cover, all the things that happen in our area, both happy, sad, and sometimes, frustrating, I think, too.
Well, there's a lot of national news that's affecting our state. I just got off the line with Oregon Attorney General Dan Rayfield. And so people are concerned. And how does that affect our newsroom, our news team?
Yeah, so we always try to cover what the local effects are. Luckily, we also have partners in Portland through the Northwest News Service. We work with OPB, KLCC in Oregon. And so, OPB will be covering what's going on in Portland with National Guard troops. And, they do a lot of that coverage for us because that matters here as well as, if you're in the Portland metro.
So I just finished talking with Dirk Vanderhart. And so he's covering the Oregon Special Legislature and what that means. And I'll be talking with the Oregon Community Foundation coming up here shortly about what's happening here in our local area of Southern Oregon. And your news team is out and about as well.
Yeah, we're all over Southern Oregon and Northern California. We get two states to roam around in.
How do you manage that?
Very carefully, Mike. It's a little bit like herding cats at times and a lot of making tough choices. We have three reporters and we usually have way more than three stories.
I bet. Well, especially in these times. Thanks, Maria.
Thanks, Mike.
And thanks to you, our listeners. It's your support that keeps JPR operating across all three of our services. Please consider a one-time donation or becoming a sustaining donor. It's easy to do online at ijpr.org/support or call us now and talk to a live person at 888-552-6191. Thank you.